Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America N.A., member FDIC.
This episode is brought to you by Snapple. Want to know another Snapple fact? The first hot air balloon passengers were a sheep, a duck, and a rooster. Ridiculous. Check out Snapple.com to find ridiculously flavored Snapple near you.
It's time for today's Lucky Land horoscope with Victoria Cash.
Life's gotten mundane, so shake up the daily routine and be adventurous with a trip to Lucky Land. You know what they say, your chance to win starts with a spin. So go to LuckyLandSlots.com to play over 100 social casino-style games for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Get lucky today at LuckyLandSlots.com.
Available to players in the U.S., excluding Washington and Michigan. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void or prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Harvey, good. The deposition is tomorrow.
Did you see Mike behind my back?
Yes, I did, but...
Why?
Because Donna practically begged me to work things out with him.
Samantha, I didn't take this case to lay down. I took it to win.
Then what are you getting so worked up about? Because I didn't lay down.
I slapped them both with a defamation suit, which is exactly what you would have done if you had seen that ad.
It isn't what I would have done because I told you I know him. And he didn't fly all the way out here just to get slapped with a suit he could have seen coming a mile away.
You know what? I'm getting a little tired of you telling me I can't handle this kid.
Well, that's too bad because until you filed this suit, the only questions they could ask were about Jeremy's contract. Now they get to ask about our manufacturing conditions.
And that doesn't matter, because we didn't do anything wrong.
Don't you get it? We don't have to have done anything wrong. He just has to make it look that way to a jury.
Shit.
That's right. So, you and I are going to stay here for as long as it takes to figure out how to get out of this.
Wait a second. If his goal is to play his violin in front of a jury, all we have to do is make sure they never get to hear it.
Suits Season 9, Episode 5 is over. If you're ready to hear us talk about if the shoe fits, then Suits yourself. I'm Rob Cisterino, back here with the guy who must be 1,000 years old because he loves Survivor. It's Chappelle. Chappelle, how are you? Yeah.
Rob, I'm great. I'm happy. We finally made it to a pivotal moment in our Suits watch. I've been waiting for this day since we started this watch because very quickly, the listeners of Suit Yourself said, wait till you find out that Harvey Specter is a Survivor fan. And I've been blocking questions coming through the Facebook group left and right, like, leave Rob alone.
Oh, my God.
He doesn't even know this. Can we get his genuine reaction?
Yes.
Rob,
is this news to you? I was gagged.
You were gagged. You were gooped.
Yes. Yes. Because what a reveal here in Season 9 of Suits. Here we are, 129 episodes into it. And Harvey says, not just that, like, oh, yeah, I've seen Survivor. He says, I love Survivor. And it's an underrated show. And yeah. I mean, so this is now basically the whole podcast could be this. It's 2019. And so Harvey has just seen The Edge of Extinction play out. I'm sorry. He's about to feel bad for Harvey. It's about to go, and we'll see if Harvey still loves Survivor after season 39 starts for him in a couple of weeks. But he loves Survivor.
Yeah. This is incredible. You know, it's not only that he loves it, it's appointment viewing. He's like, no, Donna, we really need to reschedule the thing that you want to do because I need you to come over here. Because not only am I watching Survivor, but I kind of want you to get into it as well. Harvey's about to make Donna go on a full journey. She's going to have to do the entire rewatch, starting with Borneo, make her way through all of those. And then in just a year and some change, Rob, Harvey's going to be listening to your top 40 Survivor season countdown on RHAP. Listen, he might be a Rob Cesarino fan. You never know.
We don't know. He might be. I can't imagine first that Harvey is watching in the real time on Wednesday nights.
He sounded like he was. He's like, I ordered the pizza. Nah,
he works late. He works late. He's not watching live. So I don't know.
You think he's watching live?
Yeah, I think he's on DVR. And okay. He's not really on social media, so I don't think he's worried about spoilers or anything like that.
Uh-huh. But he's a huge fan. And you said this is prior to season 38, right? This is what, 37?
No, 38 has just ended. 38 and so
38 just ended.
This episode airs in August of 2019. So he's like, I don't know how Harvey feels about Chris Underwood and the Edge of Extinction. I feel like he doesn't like it.
Listen, Edge of Extinction was not able to run me away from Survivor. There were other subsequent seasons that probably could have, but not EOE. EOE was, it was a thing that happened. And there were some good characters on there. And so I'm very happy to see the Harvey sticking out Survivor. I wonder what Harvey thinks about the new era.
I don't know. But so that's the Harvey of it. Also, Mike comes in on his high horse. Like, you watch Survivor? What are you, 1,000? Come on. Yeah. Come on, Mike.
Right. With What's all your of problem? Mike's references, all of Mike's references are from The Wire. You know, it's like, sir, you haven't seen a television show in 22 years either.
Yeah, Mike, you're like quoting like 40-year-old movies that were on before you were even born on this show. Come on. He's like, oh, Harvey, what are you, 1,000? I didn't even know the show was still on.
Yes. No, this was good. This was good because I knew it was coming, but I didn't know to what extent. I didn't know if Boston Rob was going to show up or something, but everyone kept saying, no, wait till Rob gets to this.
He hangs out with Travis Tanner.
Yeah, or something like that. Do you think this is the last Survivor reference we're going to get in the show?
Yeah, I kind of think it was one and done, but maybe we're setting something up here where then Harvey, maybe in the finale, is going to go beyond Survivor. Maybe that's what it's going to be. But you know, and also I apologize to anybody who's not a Survivor fan who this was a throwaway line. But then Mike comes back around and he's like, oh, yeah. And Harvey, just like on your favorite show, Survivor, a jury is going to decide how this goes and I'm going to be the winner.
He's going to be the last man standing. Mike Ross, the winner of Survivor 39, you know, in this alternate universe.
So I don't know who the Survivor fan is who this episode is written by Jeffrey M. Lee and Jordan Palmaville. So I don't know if one of those guys are Survivor fans. I didn't know if the series creator Aaron Korsh, a friend of the show, is a Survivor fan, but somebody on the writing team must have been enough of a Survivor fan for this to get into the script.
They brought it up. I remember when Survivor used to come up on 30 Rock. I don't know if you were a big 30 Rock guy.
Quite a bit.
It
was big.
Yeah. It would randomly come up. I think one of the characters' name was Ceree.
Yes.
So, yeah. I think that we could do more of this. We could definitely do more Survivor references here in the Suits universe. I want to say it's Aaron Korsh. I think that's the thing. If we could ever get a hold of him, I would like to ask him if he's a Survivor guy.
You know, a great question to ask him. All right. But, okay, so we've buried the lead quite a bit here as Mike Ross has returned. I was very surprised that Mike was back. We have been talking about, like, boy, they're really talking a lot about Mike and Rachel. There's Mike in the previously on, constantly on all these episodes. And so here is Mike. He comes back. And I'm happy Mike is back. I love seeing Mike and Harvey back at it. You know, their friendship is palpable. But Mike comes back and he's as Mike Ross as ever.
Yeah, there's a lot going on. So one thing that I might have gotten used to is not having Mike and Harvey just going back and forth about nothing. It's like, oh, well, you're old. Well, you're young. Well, you're a fraud. Well, you were a fraud. Well, you forgot that I wasn't a fraud. Well, now I am a fraud. But now you're in the back and forth. It's cute or whatever, a little bit. But at least 10% of this episode was just that. It was just Mike Ross being like, yeah, I was going to call you Harvey Sphincter. And Harvey's like, ooh, that's the best you could come up with. Like, I know you are. But what am I? I'm like, okay, we get it. Y'all are friends. This is cool. It's the cute thing that y'all do. But cut it out. So there was a lot of Mike in that. And then, of course, Mike comes in toting his violin in the machine gun case. You know, it's just what he does. He's like, but this is about the people. We have to protect the people. Like, yes, Mike Ross, you're right. You're correct. You're on the right side of history. Blah, 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 blah. But come on, man. We've seen this before. Harvey is like, I have to deal with Mike and his violin. He flew across the country to do it. So now it's Mike and the righteous, the righteous cause of this, I guess it sounds like a sweatshop at this point.
Yeah.
Versus Harvey and his client.
Chappelle, this clinic that Mike went to go start up in Seattle. Mike and Rachel are going to go work at like this clinic. Like, didn't it seem like this is like a weird case for them to be taking on? And yes, that there is like this like, you know, humanitarian angle to this story of going against the sweatshop and having this new sneaker company that's going to be, you know, paying people a living wage. But like, I kind of thought, like, wasn't Mike going to like open this clinic to take these cases that were going to be more similar to like the pro bono type work that he was doing?
Yeah, this felt like Mike has a couple, you know, heavy hitters still, you know, like it's like, yeah, he went to go do pro bono work. But anytime you could go help a basketball player out, he's not going to turn it down. I mean, look at Harvey. He has a slew of basketball players who he can always call up. Like, let me just call up Michael Jordan, who, now that I think about it, we haven't heard any MJ references in a very long time. I think he hit him with a cease and desist.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. He shut it down.
Yeah.
Charles Barkley showed up and they were like, all right, that's good. But yeah, I think Mike Ross is just trying to keep a basketball player on his roster. And this basketball player has gone and seen the factory where these shoes are made. And he's like, hey, they're not living in great conditions over there. And I want to blow the whistle on it. And so now Harvey has to protect his client because Mike Ross is ready to take them to the cleaners.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so this basketball player, Jeremy Wall, and I was trying to remember, like, I don't know if we had seen this particular company before in terms of, like, I know that there was this other footwear company where somebody was trying to get out of the deal and they were going to get fired and lose jobs, and then they were trying to save the jobs. But I'm not sure if this is the same company, but... So this athlete wants out. He is basically representing, or Harvey is representing the company, which he had given to Samantha. And so Mike is trying to say that there's this, like, you know, this sweatshop conditions. And ultimately, like, it turns out that this this athlete is trying to start, get out of this deal so he could start his own company. Like, did the athlete, did Jeremy Wall actually care about the sweatshop?
Yeah, maybe not, right? So Mike Ross and him conspired together prior to all of this happening, and they said, oh, I got a plan. I can get you out of your company, and with a big public beef, like getting sued or going head-to-head with this company, then you might get some, you know, additional publicity, and you can get some money if you sue them. So we're going to do all those things. Now, did Jeremy Wall actually care, or did he even see the sweatshop? We don't even know.
We don't know
know how bad it was.
Nice going, Mike. All those people at the sweatshop are going to be out of a job now. Nice going.
Right. They go from $2 an hour to $0 an
no
hour.
Dollars an hour.
No, Mike Ross says, listen, if this goes well, Jeremy Wall is going to be able to reestablish or, I guess, reconfigure how these shops work, right? People are going to see how they're making clothes, and they're going to do better because of the work that Jeremy Wall has done. So for Mike Ross, it's a net positive.
And Chappelle will be first in line to buy the brand new $580 Jeremy Wall sneakers.
Yeah, I'm pretty much a socialist, but I do love shoes. So that's my limit, you know? You know, sue me.
Yeah. I don't know what the markup is. Like, again, I think it's
a hell of a markup.
It's a gray area of how much is it, like, does it actually cost 8 cents to make the shoe? And then it's,
I think so.
You know, $900 markup on the shoes.
I'm 1000% sure that is exactly what's happening here. It probably costs about,
it's not an iPhone, you know?
Yeah. It's pretty close. It's pretty close. And then on top of that, you get resellers who come in and they steal the shoe. Michael Jordan's own kid was doing this stuff for a while too, like funneling these shoes off to be like resold for higher prices.
I get it. The iPhone seems like that there's like a lot of expensive stuff that's in there. Like the shoe is like what?
Rubber. Like, you know, some string. It's really, it really, like, I could make one of these shoes. If you gave me the blueprint, I'm pretty sure if you gave me a year, I could do one.
Mike Ross does have a point. Okay.
Yeah, he's all right.
All right. So then Samantha, she doesn't care that Mike Ross is back. She's like, I just want to wipe that smug look off his face.
Yeah, Mike Ross is still arrogant. He's still a know-it-all, and he still talks a lot of trash. And so Samantha's like, listen, I know you and Harvey got your little back and forth, but a violin ain't winning this gunfight this time, so shut it down. And also, this is Samantha's client, not Harvey's. He gave her a while ago. And so he doesn't really get to have any say so over how Samantha proceeds. But as we know, thanks to Faye, they have to be above board. So Harvey and Mike agree that we're not going to break any laws here. Anything that can get us disbarred or thrown in prison, we're just going to stick to the, you know, stick to the plan. Ha ha ha. But now you have Samantha like, Harvey would love that. I don't know about that. Yeah. Samantha, she's willing to bend some rules in ways that they are not, even amongst friends.
Yeah. So it's funny in this episode that they really just like read Mike Ross of that, like all he, his one move is just, he just needs to get in front of the jury and then like have his like a bleeding heart sob story. That's the only thing that he can do. And so they're going to ultimately like take that away from him. Somehow they write something up. It's like, okay, well, this won't go to a jury trial. And so you'll have to only get in front of a judge. And so Mike is able to then, in this deposition, get the CEO of the shoe company to basically admit that, yeah, there were some people who... there were people who there were suicides, right? And ultimately, but they were following the law.
Yeah. So the thing is, international manufacturing laws state that you have to have things within certain bounds, or this is for this to be legal, right? And so they're like, we're checking all the boxes, but apparently, people have been taking their own life due to some of these conditions, or at least, you know, in relationship to some of these conditions, or at least it even seems like it, right? Maybe it's not in relationship. Maybe there's no causation at all. Maybe it's just a coincidence. But regardless, these two things are parallel to each other. And so this CEO of this company, he just like blurts it out. Like, I don't care how many people that took their own life. They ain't got nothing to do with us because we following the rules. We're following the rule of the law and you cannot blame this on us. Mm-hmm. And so the deposition is sealed. No one's ever going to hear that unless Jeremy Wall goes out and prints it on a t-shirt and wears it around like he's Russell Westbrook. And so that's exactly what he does. He wears it on his shirt and he goes viral with this statement from the CEO of this shoe company. So whether or not, the conditions are bad or not, now he has the attention that he's looking for and they're going to be willing to settle.
Yep. And Harvey is like, Mike, you got me. Yep. All right. That was pretty good. Yeah, that was a good one. And like, Harvey like can't help being like a proud papa here of that. Mike, he's like, wait, are you taking credit for me beating you? It's it's just so nice to have you back, Mike. So yeah. Harvey doesn't care. And Samantha rightfully is like, wait, we're going to stand for this. Like, he cheated. Yeah. He wasn't supposed to like leak that. And Harvey's like, let it go. It's Mike. He's back. He's home. It's Christmas. Come on. Yeah.
Come on, Samantha. Loosen up. And she's like, no. Mike's whole thing is that Harvey knows Mike so well. Everybody knows Mike is just a violin guy. He comes in with a bleeding heart and he's just like squeezing the hell out of it until he gets what he wants. And so Harvey went into this trying to, quote unquote, play the man. He's like, OK, Mike's going to lean into not having a jury. To having a jury and having his moment to just really get into these people's into these hearts and their minds. It's just like, oh my God, isn't it so sad? These poor people over there in the sweatshops and all this other stuff. And that's Mike's move. So Harvey's been he's been attacking this just like that. Like, we got to keep Mike away from the jury. We got to get Mike in front of a judge. We need to stick to the facts. But what he did not realize is that Mike was expecting all of that. And so while Harvey's doing all of that, all it's doing is bolstering Mike's attempt to make a big deal out of this. He doesn't want a jury. He wants the world to see it, because now that the world sees it, this guy, Jeremy Wall, is getting publicity for starting his new company. So he's getting the money and he's getting the clout. And that's exactly what Mike wanted. And it was a little, underhanded, because he planned this from the beginning. This whole thing was cooked up. Like, for all we know, the entire reason the boy even went to the sweatshop was just for this to happen,
And so, that's what it seems like. It seems like this was all like Mike was playing like 4D chess.
Yeah, like, go to the sweatshop, look around. If it seems a little, it'll seem a little shady, because they all do, and then come back and we'll talk some business. And Samantha's like, wait, he can't get away with this. I was like, yes, he can. She's like, no, he cannot. And so eventually Harvey says, look, stand down, because you're about to go create some evidence to prove that what Mike did was, what Mike did happened. And that's against the rules. Faye's snooping around, shut it down. And she's like, fine, I'll shut it down. And she doesn't shut it down at all. She did not shut it down. She actually goes and creates the evidence. And Mike is pissed.
Mike is pissed. And, you know, Mike is also, I think, you know, unreasonable. Like, Mike and Samantha are more alike than I think either of them would want to be comfortable with. Because, you know, Samantha, and then she, like, with everything going on, she fabricates some kind of evidence that I don't even understand what she fabricated. But she did something to, she fabricated, like, some evidence that pointed that the basketball player didn't really get the information or was notified a long time ago, and so he was not able to then, you know, make this claim to get out of his contract. And Mike is, you know, basically he goes off on Harvey. You know, Mike came back to pick a fight with Harvey. Harvey, like, magnanimously, like, Mike, like, attaboy, you did it. And then when it doesn't go Mike's way, he lashes out at Harvey and is like, I'm never coming home again for Christmas. Like, this is what it's like around here. Like, screw you, Harvey. Screw everything you did. Like, you know. And he's like, I don't care about her. I cared about you, and you need to, like, call off your attack dog. He's so rude, Mike.
Yeah, he's like, you gave me your word, and you've lost yourself, Harvey Specter. You've lost yourself. You're too far gone. You know, I was like, all right,
take
Mike,
it easy.
The hell up.
He didn't even know that this happened.
Right, and Mike, you cheated first. You come in with this, like, foolproof plan, and it doesn't go your way because you swear Harvey that he's going to stay above board when you already were below board.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it was cool, but you don't get to have the moral high ground here when it comes to, you know, how you came at this case, right?
Yeah.
So what Samantha did was she contacted Charles Hume, who was this activist who had gotten in touch with them, and they were like, oh, yeah, Charles Hume talked to you? Yeah, that guy. So Samantha contacted him and bribed him and was like, look, let's just say you knew about the Mike Ross scheme. Like, what could we get for you to say that? And so he does. He says this, and now they have evidence showing that Mike Ross cooked this up from the beginning, and none of this stuff is plausible. And so Mike's pissed because he's like, you can't just go bribing people. That's against the law. It's like, Mike, what you did was not above board at all. You don't get to sit here and be mad about it. But he is. And ultimately, Lewis has to go to his house and be like, Mike, come on, Mike. We're family, just like the sheepdog and the dog, or the wolf, the sheepdog and the wolf. You clock in, you clock out, but you're still friends. Mike's like, I guess, Lewis, you know. Mm-hmm. He gave him you just got spit up onesie, you know.
Yeah, that was nice. Fine. That was nice. Because Lewis did not have any interaction with Mike during this whole time. Like, Lewis was, I guess Lewis was not in the office for most of this, so he didn't get to see Mike coming back. So he had a nice moment with Mike. But, you know, Samantha is also ridiculous.
Yes.
Harvey is, you know, her boss. I guess they're both named partners, but they're not equals.
Is he her boss?
I have to think, like, I don't know what the ownership stakes are, but I have to think that Harvey has more ownership of the firm than Samantha. Like, I don't think that the Specter, Litt, Wheeler, Williams are, like, each, like, 25% partners in this, right? I mean, it's business, like, that, yeah, her name's on the wall, but she came in with, like, no equity here. I mean, basically, to put her name up on the wall, to make her equal with Harvey and Lewis, like, that's crazy.
I don't know.
She's basically a stranger. I mean,
I don't know. It feels like, at the very least, he has seniority. I don't know how far that goes, but you would think that he could just be like, hey, man, chill out, you know, and she would be like, all right. But he does. He tries to pull rank. I'm like, I'm giving you a direct order. She's like, you don't give me orders. I don't work for you. I work with you. And like I said, I don't really know what the math is on that one. So I guess, I mean, even if she is correct and he doesn't give her orders, it's still wild that Samantha would really go after this. Now, I don't get me wrong. I actually kind of see, I feel like if I'm her, maybe I don't care, right? Because, like, I hear Harvey, and he's just trying to protect his little friend. You know, that's his play son or whatever. And Mike came in underhanded first, so why do I have to be the one to take the moral high ground here when he was doing, what's he going to do? Prove that I bribed them, you know, because then that still shows that Mike is guilty of what happened, you know? So it's kind of just like, I don't know. I don't know how I feel about Samantha doing this to Harvey, but I do feel weird about her doing this with Faye snooping around. Like, yeah. This is dumb.
She says to Harvey, where he comes in and he's pissed, and she's like, well, I changed my mind. I don't take orders from you. And so,
yeah.
So stupid. Okay.
Yeah.
They have this huge, big blow up. And then, of course, there's like Peeping Faye is standing in the corner, like always. Like, everybody knows she's in her spy shack. She's waiting around constantly for something to happen. And she comes in and says to Samantha, so I saw you and Harvey got into it. I know that Harvey fabricated this evidence and you tried to stop him. Isn't that the case? And Samantha, to her credit, says, no.
No.
Harvey didn't do it. She's like, oh, then it must have been you. That's it. You're fired. I will not tolerate unethical behavior.
Yeah. And Samantha's like, you don't have any proof. She's like, I don't need proof. I am your boss. I can fire you. And here you are. You are fired. We have officially seen Faye do the thing that she's been threatening to do to everybody. Mm-hmm. She told Donna, like, hey, you could get demoted. She told Lewis, you could get fired. You know, and now she's finally like, all right, this is the final straw. I know that you broke the law. I heard y'all talking about it because y'all are too stupid to have a private conversation inside of like a room with
close the door. Right.
Right. That's what I'm saying. These conference rooms have to be soundproof to some extent, right? Because they're lawyers. So you wouldn't want all their information leaking every time they have a conversation. Close the door. We've seen Harvey and Donna have like knockout, drag out fights in the middle of the lobby downstairs. Mike and Rachel used to argue in the downstairs lobby, like, you slept with somebody else? You kissed somebody? Like, they used to do that kind of stuff all the time.
Go in the records room. Mike and Rachel had sex in there. Nobody heard about that.
Right. That's what I'm saying. Like, I'm glad that they finally kind of got caught up, because you really think you'd have more discretion when you have these conversations. But yeah, Faye hurt her and now she's in trouble. She's fired.
I would have liked to have seen Faye and Mike Ross have an interaction where like Faye like grabs him by like the lapel of his shirt. Like, what's a known fraud like you doing in a place like this? I've been trying to clean up the mess that you left here, Mike Ross. Where do you get off?
Yeah, I would even love to see, because we did see Faye inquire about Mike Ross. She goes to Alex Williams like, so Mike Ross, what do you, you know that guy? And I was like, oh yeah, he sucks. Mike Ross is a jerk and he's a know-it-all. He's arrogant.
You just spy on him for me.
He's like, what? I'm not doing that. He's like, Mike Ross has saved my life a bunch of times. Like, we're good. He's a good guy. I'm not spying on him. But Alex actually does consider it because he knows that Mike Ross is so underhanded. He's like, yeah, maybe I should. Then he goes to Katrina, and Katrina's like, hey, I'm going to tell you right now, stay out of this. Do not get involved with Mike and Harvey and Samantha, because all of them are willing to bend the rules, and it is going to blow up in our faces. And the best thing you can do is just hope that it blows up on them and not all of us. And so some sage wisdom from Katrina, who, now that we've mentioned it after the last episode, I do see a world where Katrina and Alex Williams are like the last two standing, kind of holding the firm together as the only people who are not willing to be so unethical all the time.
Yeah. Okay. So keep an eye on that with these next five episodes to go. All right. We talked about Katrina. Let's get into this.
And boom.
This,
boom.
I mean, really, this, I believe it or not, Katrina still in the blender. Finally, by the end of this episode, does Katrina stand up?
She stood up. Yeah. She stood up. I did like a fist pump. Like, yes, she did it. She did it. She ignored the voicemail. It came in and she said, you know what, Donna? I deleted it. I didn't even listen to it. But yeah. Rob,
no,
I don't believe her.
Well, I feel like that when you're truly over Brian, you could listen to his voicemail and not go back to, like, you know, she's like, I quit Brian cold turkey. You know, I can't, I can't even have a little Brian because I'm over it. You know, when you're really over it, you could, like, because that was just kind of rude that you called him.
Oh.
He called you back and you don't even listen to his voicemail. That's it.
She let it go, you know, and I don't believe her. I do believe that she did not listen to the voicemail. I believe that. I do not believe that she's over it because of what you just said, right? Like, she could not even bring herself to listen to it because she knows it would have dragged her back in. And that makes me sad because I know Brian is coming back. I know this is not the last we've seen of Brian. His name should not have come up in this episode at all. And it was Katrina's entire storyline. She calls Brian and leaves like 85 million voicemails before she gets the right one, where she's just
like hilarious, but also very ridiculous.
Very sad. Very
hey,
sad.
Hey, F buddy.
Never seen Katrina act like this. Yeah. Hey, F buddy. It's me, Katrina. It's like, oh my God.
She's hey,
like,
dog. Hey, Katrina. It's kitty cat.
Right. I was like, stop it. Cut it out, Katrina. She's like, oh, hey, it's Katrina. I mean, oh, no, you're Katrina. I'm Brian. Oh, no, I got to hang up. Mm-hmm. But you can't hang up because if you hang up, the voicemail is just going to say, I've actually been in a situation like this, not calling somebody like, you know, that I was like in love with or nothing like that. But whenever you leave a voicemail and it sounds stupid, you're like, damn, do I have to just stay on here until it tells me that I can re-record it? Or do I just hang up and let it ride? Yeah. Now I just don't leave voicemails at all.
No, can't do it.
You can't do it.
Can't do it.
Can't do it.
Yeah. She also is like, hey, why don't you leave your wife and marry me? Like she had like a couple that were
tell
like,
her you love me.
Yeah. Wow.
Yeah. Katrina, please. I was yelling stand up, but I'm giving her credit for standing up at the end. But at the same time, like all this was a setup for Brian to come back. And I just don't want it. I just don't want it. Katrina's so much better than him. Yeah.
Is the Suits finale going to be Katrina and Brian's wedding?
No. God, no. God, no. What?
Double marriage with Harvey and Donna?
No. Harvey, Donna, and Lewis. It'd be a triple wedding.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Lewis and Sheila still have to get married.
She was ass. Yeah. Okay. We still haven't talked about her.
I know. We're going to get back to them. But also then, so Donna has a conversation with Katrina, and Katrina and Donna, like where Donna is like trying to say like, hey, get drunk. Let's like pick up women. Also like, you know, patriarchy hard at work here of that Donna still can only like make up fake names that are based on the men in the office. Like you could could be Luis Litt here.
Right.
Like
what if you pretended to be a lawyer, Katrina.
Like me and Rachel. Imagine that, a lady lawyer.
Right. Like me and Rachel used to when Rachel was a paralegal and I was just a legal secretary. Katrina, you too could be a lawyer. She's like, I'm a lawyer. Yeah. I don't have to fake it.
I don't need a fake name, fake identity to be a lawyer at a bar. Like, right. Imagine though, a girl lawyer at a bar.
Louise Litt. She's like, yeah, what about Katrina? How is that sound? Katrina Bennett. They're like, oh, that's a good ring. That has a good ring to it. I don't know, but it's not Louise Litt.
So Donna is able, oh my God, I'm losing my touch. You've only been in one relationship. Is the one relationship we're saying Katrina has ever been in? Is Brian?
No, that doesn't count. That does not count as the one relationship. I think it's just that Katrina has only been in like a strong relationship and she got hurt. And now with the Brian thing,
Brian.
She's looking,
it was a different
looking
guy.
For the warmth. Yeah, she's looking for the warmth of a new relationship. And so Brian was the first time she was letting her guard down because she's so focused on work. Donna thought Katrina was trying to get over somebody by getting under somebody else. When in reality, she was really just like, bruh, I just want to talk about this. I have these complicated feelings because I've been giving myself to work so much. And then Brian intruded on my work with these emotions. And now I don't know how to work it out. And so Donna's like, do something for yourself. Do not do something work-related. For once, just once a week, just pick something else. Don't think about us. Don't think about Brian. Just go take care of yourself. Okay. And so Katrina decides to take up ballet.
She's going to ballet class. Okay. All right. So then we also had Lewis and Sheila and got into a little bit of Lewis and Sheila role play here of some kind of like Cinderella story that was going on where Lewis is fitting Cinderella with a glass slipper. However, it does not fit because that Sheila, as we've discussed, is becoming more and more pregnant, and her foot has swelled to the point where the glass slipper does not fit. Now, I have not ever heard this. I'm not the ultimate authority on human pregnancy, but, you know, and I would probably... Pregnancy is not a monolith, Chappelle, okay? One pregnancy does not represent all pregnancies. I had not ever heard this, that if your foot swells when you're pregnant, it never goes back to the original pre-pregnancy size.
I don't know if it ever goes back. I mean, maybe Sheila is being dramatic here. Maybe she's telling the truth. But I know the ligaments get looser with the pregnancy. Their bones aren't, you know, it's not holding the bones as tightly as it used to be, right? And so you could go up like a size or so, but I don't know if they're just like, it never tightens back up, you know, if Sheila ain't got that snap back on her feet. She was pissed. They were doing Cinderella's Dirty Redemption, and for some reason her feet were the size of Wisconsin and they wouldn't fit into the glass slipper, and this sets her off. Now Louis eventually will go to Alex and say, Alex, you survived two pregnancies, tell me what to do. Rob, you have survived two pregnancies. What do you do when someone is crazy? Pregnant.
Yeah. I don't know.
You do nothing. Alex Williams says you do nothing. You do nothing.
Do nothing.
You do nothing. You do absolutely nothing. But Alex notes, this is Louis. Louis cannot do nothing. So this is going to be a downhill spiral anyway. There was nothing that we could do without to avoid this fight, because it was going to happen. Sheila is pissed. She is angry. She's hurt. She's sad. She's feeling all these emotions, and none of it's her fault. And Louis is trying to fix it, and she just wants him to stop.
He tries to fix it. We bring Benjamin back into things, and he wants Benjamin to ultimately like wire this $50,000. Benjamin runs the IT department, but they really just use him like their like in-house Mr. Robot to like hack and do dirt to other companies electronically. And so here, wire this $50,000 anonymously to Sheila. She'll never know. And she knows instantly that that is from Louis. And she's angry with him. She says, that was selfish and it was cruel and you never listen. And so Louis says, okay, we need to go see Dr. Lipschitz.
Yeah. He's like, we're crazy. And I mean that in a loving way. And so maybe we need to go talk to somebody who deals with crazy people. Let's go talk to Dr. Lipschitz. And Sheila said something to the effect of, I mean, you've been going down for years. And he ain't made you less crazy. And I was like, ha. And then Louis responds, yes, he has. And you know it. And I was like, also ha. Because Louis is correct. The Louis that we knew in season 2 and 3 and 4, he's gone. That Louis is not the same Louis. Now, this not to say that this Louis is completely healed from whatever wounds he has. And that has worked out all of his anxieties and his, you know, his Lewis-isms. But he's definitely better off now after seeing Dr. Lipschitz for this amount of time. And so it is a not bad idea for Sheila to go and talk to Dr. Lipschitz. And this is when they get to the root of the problem.
Yeah. And Sheila doesn't really know what she wants to do. She feels like she's pulled in a few different directions, but maybe she just wants to pick one direction. Maybe Sheila just wants to be a mom.
Yeah.
Maybe she doesn't want to keep her career going.
Yeah, maybe. And Louis is like, okay, whatever you want. You know,
you don't have to decide today.
You don't. But it was bothering Sheila. And so, yeah, they kind of get to the root of it, and they're able to at least have a genuine conversation where she's not yelling at him and Louis is not yelling back. Because make no mistake, if Sheila's getting emotional, Louis is matching whatever that energy is.
Right. And we also see Louis, he goes back to Benjamin and apologizes to Benjamin. He's like the Scrooge of like, after he got visited by the ghost, he's like, Benjamin, I was, so wrong to have fired you. Here's a raise and a promotion.
Yeah, I'm happy that Benjamin stood up for himself, because Louis walks in like, Benjamin, I need your help. Benjamin's like, Louis, the last time we talked, you had me do something illegal. And then when I got caught, you threw me under the bus and tried to fire me. So no, I'm not doing anything for you and that bag of bacon. But he does apologize. He tells him it's for Sheila. And then, like you said, he gives him a 30% raise and a fancy new title. He's the vice president of
something.
Tech? Of IT?
Yeah.
VP? VP of IT?
Okay. Yeah. I mean, is there a president of...
Is there an IT department or is it just Benjamin? Yeah.
Kind of a made up title. I don't know. There's nobody else that works. The first time we saw Benjamin, there was like this like sprawling like floor of people that like, wait, I have to go down to IT? What's that? And he was like running everything. We're like, is he running IT for like a bunch of companies? And then now he just is like by himself in an office. Like, doesn't seem like there's anybody else that works with Benjamin.
Yeah. Benjamin is a one-man show, it seems. But he's now the vice president of that one-man show. So go, Benjamin.
Go, Benjamin. Okay. All right. And yeah, I think that that's pretty much... was there anything we missed here from this episode? Any other stories?
No. I mean, just the moment that Alex Williams gets asked to be the spy. I mean, he doesn't say no, per se. He's more just kind of like, Maybe you have a point. He doesn't actually spy on them this time because Katrina tells him to step down. But I think there's a non-zero chance where, because of this fallout with Faye finding out about Samantha, that Alex is more incentivized to be like, maybe I should be keeping an eye on these people, because why did I allow that to happen? You know, everybody with eyes knew Samantha was about to go do that thing. The only person who missed it was Harvey because he was blinded by Mike Ross's glow. But anybody else would have told you, Samantha is not going to stop. Donna even told, Donna told Samantha, Mike Ross is never going to stop. He's just like you and Harvey. So when it gets to, it's Samantha, the ball is in Samantha's court. Why do you think she's going to fold? She doesn't do that. And so Samantha's fired, but I think Alex Williams is like kind of looking like, dang, maybe I should have spoke up and said something.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered ChumbaCasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby. Mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa. Take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to ChumbaCasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Ch-ch-chumba. ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Chappelle, who gets the Liddy in this episode?
Is Mike Ross eligible for the Liddy?
He's still eligible, but do you feel like that he, yes, he outplayed Harvey, but he also like was, a big baby at the end.
He was a big baby, and he technically lost to Samantha. She did get over on him.
I think it's Harvey. I think it's Harvey. He's a Survivor fan first. He didn't like do dirt to try to beat Mike Ross. Like he was magnanimous towards Mike Ross. You know, he told Samantha to back down. She didn't. Mm-hmm. Like, what else could he have done differently?
No, you're right. I think this was a win for Harvey, and personally, him and Donna seem to be kicking it. You know, smooth things over between him and Mike. And so, I think at the end of the day, he might have lost the case, but I mean, he actually won the case because Samantha cheated. Well, he won the case. Samantha cheated. So, I mean, he even wins just by doing nothing. So, yeah, I agree. Yeah. I think Harvey wins the Liddy here.
That's the problem with Harvey, like, kind of being, like, on his own mental health journey throughout the course of the show. Like, he's so rich, and if he's not broken, he just doesn't want to win that bad anymore.
Yeah, that's it. He's kind of like, I'm good, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm fine.
Whatever.
And it's Mike. It's Mike, so it's easier for him to back down. If this is Samantha, Harvey's still out here fabricating evidence and all kinds of stuff. But because this is Mike, this is his boy, he had to give his kid a win. Now, ultimately, Samantha does take that away, but that wasn't Harvey's fault.
Okay, so we have where we talked about Survivor at length of it. Harvey calling it an underrated show, and he loves it. Also, Donna claims to have seen a Tom Hanks lookalike. So there was that, and also some fables of Hansel and Gretel and Cinderella are mentioned. But let's get into the feedback, because this is probably the episode of Suits that we've had the most feedback on in the history of the show. Okay? All right.
I wonder why.
So we have the most important thing has happened. Harvey is a Survivor fan. Whatever. Mike comes back. Blah. Whatever. Harvey's a Survivor fan. He knows you, Rob. That being said, who are Harvey's favorite players? I think we could safely agree Harvey is a Boston Rob fan with the poker and the attitude, playing the man. Harvey likely is also a Tyson fan for similar reasons. I could see Harvey loving Malcolm, who's charming, smart, strategic, and had an alliance with a strong, wise female, Denise, similar to Harvey and Jessica. Harvey obviously listens to RJP. He's a listener. Maybe he was at a live show in New York and went incognito. I'm sure he was not happy with Mike Bloom laughing when Malcolm got voted out.
Oh, see, that's the one stretch I'll take. I don't think Harvey's that big of a Malcolm fan. I think he likes Malcolm, But I think you hit the nail on the head. He's a Tyson guy. He's a Boston Rob.
Yeah.
Guy.
Also, like, I feel like that Harvey is kind of a casual. Also, that I think Harvey is also like, Sandra, she's not that great. What did she even do? Poverty should have won Heroes versus Villains. Like, you know who was good? Russell. Like, you know, I could see Harvey being a little bit like, he's like, he likes big moves.
Yeah, he likes big moves. I don't think he's a Russell guy. I think that he liked Russell
definitely
at first.
Definitely Samoa.
He loved Russell. But yeah, by Heroes vs. Villains, he's like, nah, I don't like it. Because
it reminds him of Travis Tanner.
Yeah, and Harvey likes results. He likes to see a winner. And so to see somebody, that's why he doesn't like Malcolm. No disrespect to Malcolm. But, you know, like, he just likes to see, like, somebody who is able to charm their way into the end and win. And Harvey's like, if you put me in front of a jury, there's no way I'm losing. I'm the best closer ever. So why would he like Russell Hands?
Yeah.
It's just not his speed.
Yep. Okay, AJ wants to know, does Harvey get the Liddy for being a Survivor fan? He just did.
Yeah, he just got the Liddy. I mean, being a Survivor fan did not hurt.
He just got
at
lit
all.
Up.
He did.
Yeah.
He didn't get spit up.
No.
But he got lit up.
Okay.
Yeah. His torch was lit.
All right. Doug says, Mike's back. What do you think of the new Mike? Who cares more about the win? Did he turn into the old
about
Harvey?
The violin. Yeah. No, I think this is Mike just utilizing a trick that
he cares
would
more
work
about the
Harvey.
Win than Harvey does. Yeah.
Yeah. Or at least in this moment. But again, this is Mike Ross who put this plan into motion, you know, 6 months prior to any of this even starting. Right. So
yeah.
Mike Ross has been planning. This has been a long con for a very long time. And he finally made his way to come like blindside Harvey. I think heads up. No, I don't think this is a new Mike Ross at all. I think Harvey versus Mike is still going to end the way it always has.
Sure. And I mean, that makes sense that mentee cares more about beating the mentor than like that makes sense. You know, if you know, you're playing a game with your son and it's like, you know, screw you, dad. Like, you're not like, screw you, son.
Yeah. Exactly. Like you're at the top of the food chain here. So you're not supposed to be worried about the little guy anyway, or at least you're not supposed to appear to be worried about that. Harvey's got a lot of stuff going.
You don't want
to
punch down.
Yeah, he is focused on, you know, all the intruders that are trying to come in and take over ZSLWW. Mike Ross is sitting at home thinking, how do I beat Harvey? And so, you know, that's a different energy. Now, if Harvey's always focused on how to beat Mike, then yeah, he's picking on some clinic on the West Coast, you know, that's not happening. Mm-hmm. So yeah, Mike is supposed to come in guns blazing and he's supposed to win this fight. I just think that if he didn't have the element of surprise, Harvey might have been able to get him anyway.
Yeah. David wants to know, I've been waiting for this episode since the beginning to ask this question. Do you think that we can get Harvey for a know-it-alls or feedback show in season 46? Was this the best reference for the whole series or what?
It was fun. It was fun. I would love to see another follow-up. I would love to see, like, oh, we do one more reference to Survivor. Because you would think a show about, largely about how you present yourself in front of a jury would have made a Survivor reference way earlier. But I think Survivor was in its renaissance around 2019. It was starting to make a comeback.
If I had to guess, I would say that there were maybe writers that wrote this episode that were not there from early on in the run.
Right. They came on in the new sexy suits, you know, this new, because, you know, the early days of suits, it was the same. It was like references, but it was a lot of like, you know, I won't say dated references, but Survivor in the current day is probably the most current reference that we've gotten. You know, that's it. Like, it's not like he was like, oh, I'm watching Survivor season one. He's like watching current Survivor. And that's a 2019 show. Most of these references, aside from Game of Thrones, are from 20, 30 years ago.
Yeah.
Even the Mike Ross references.
And it may not even be necessarily like the people that wrote the episode. Maybe in the writer's room, there were different people that were not there from earlier on that wanted to get this into the show. So, you know, definitely some different ways to go. All right. Then we also got from Gwyneth. What do you think is Harvey's favorite Survivor season?
Harvey likes...
Harvey have a season rankings?
Yeah, San Juan del Sur is Harvey's favorite season. Mm-hmm. Easy.
Yeah.
He pictures himself a Natalie Anderson type.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, all right. I think that's about it for all the Survivor talk. Jessica Frey wants to know, is the Suits brand still happening now? It's got to.
It's kind of have to, it got to happen. You know, I haven't listened to the more recent Brett Steele you've done, but I think that, Suits Brett Steele wouldn't be horrible, but Harvey would have to win or it doesn't make sense.
Yep. Okay. Wow. Imagine like Harvey and Mike in the final two, final three.
Yes. Yes. And who do you vote for? Yeah. I think I'm staying at that point.
All right. Chappelle, anything else about this episode with only five episodes left to go?
This was great. Like I said, I'm very happy that we made it here because, like I said, I've never seen season five of Suits. And so I knew there was a Survivor reference coming. I just didn't know when. It was just that so many people were just really trying to flag it. And so to get here and to see that this is what it was, I was like, yeah, I like this a lot. Again, hoping for more of this, more Survivor content because we're Survivor family here. But yeah, thanks for everybody who has been chiming in and sending the feedback. I'm sorry if I've been denying your approved message, you know, your messages through this whole far, but I'm going to start letting them slip through. We got a message from Jason Forner. It says, question for season 9, episode 5. If Harvey was on Survivor, what would his fake non-lawyer job be, Rob?
Oh, I think he would say he was like a baseball coach.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. In his mind, he is. Or a poker player, which probably wouldn't go back.
Or a boxer. A boxing coach. Yeah.
They wouldn't believe Harvey was a
boxing instructor.
Boxing instructor would be a good one. Yeah, I think so. I think it'd help him fly under the radar. But yeah, overall, this is a good time. Very happy.
Okay. All right. Chappelle, where can people keep up with you?
Follow me on Twitter at Chappelle_show.
Okay. When we come back, only five episodes left.
Yay!
Final five.
The new year. Top five, baby.
Top five, baby. The next episode we cover will be episode 130 overall.
Do you think that now that Samantha is fired, that Faye is officially the
take her name
guy?
Off the wall, baby.
Yeah. Do you think that this is the new, this is what we're going, the end game is how we get Samantha's name back on the wall?
No, Samantha, she could just go. I mean, this is
you
like...
You think they're just about to write her off the show right now?
I don't think they're going to write her off the show, but I kind of feel like, I mean, is Harvey going to fight that hard to get Samantha back? I mean, she disobeyed him directly, which caused her to get fired by Faye after they have, like, you know, that it's going to be a really tough needle to thread of, hey, I know Samantha just did some dirt, and I know you're here to make sure we're ethical, but we really need her back. She's an essential part of that team.
Harvey got Mike Ross out of prison. I don't think he lets this go. Mm-hmm. I think once you get somebody out of prison, you
but is
think
there
you
loyalty there
want.
To Samantha? I mean, there's not Robert Zane here to like, hey, that's my right hand person.
No, I don't think so. But I do think that, yeah, there's loyalty within the firm to Samantha. We know Katrina's sweet on Samantha. We know Alex loves Samantha. He's adopted her as his sister / daughter. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, I don't think
maybe
that
she could go find her family.
There's no way they're letting this go. I think Faye is the big bad because of Samantha getting fired. I just because they even said it in this episode. Mike's like, you got to stop Samantha from doing this stuff. And Harvey's like, I can't. I wouldn't stop you. I wouldn't throw you under the bus. I'm not throwing her under the bus. And so Harvey hates Faye. This is less about Samantha and more about Harvey and Faye. Faye just fired somebody at Harvey's law firm and he's just going to take it laying down. No, he's about to try to sue the pants off this lady.
All right. Let's see what happens when we come back next time. Episode called Whatever It Takes. So maybe it speaks to that they're going to do a lot to get her back. All right. Chappelle, where can people keep up with you?
At Chappelle_show.
All right. I'm at Rob Sestrino. Really fun one today. Take care, everybody. Have a good one. Bye.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18+.
It's time for today's Lucky Land horoscope with Victoria Cash.
Life's gotten mundane, so shake up the daily routine and be adventurous with a trip to Lucky Land. You know what they say, your chance to win starts with a spin. So go to LuckyLandSlots.com to play over 100 social casino-style games for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Get lucky today
at LuckyLandSlots.com.
Available to players in the U.S., excluding Washington and Michigan. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void or prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
It's time for today's Lucky Land horoscope with Victoria Cash.
Life's gotten mundane, so shake up the daily routine and be adventurous with a trip to Lucky Land. You know what they say, your chance to win starts with a spin. So go to LuckyLandSlots.com to play over 100 social casino-style games for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Get lucky today at LuckyLandSlots.com.
Available to players in the U.S., excluding Washington and Michigan. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to Chumbacasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on chumbacasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's chumbacasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.